I had another message in my heart toward the first part of the week, and so help me, the Lord just brought this up. As anyone who speaks understands, sometimes God just, His plans are much more important than our plans are, His thoughts and ways. I want you to turn with me to Luke, the fifth chapter. Luke, the fifth chapter. And I want you to take notes today, because this is setting the pace in the year that is before us. And in this chapter, we find how to turn your nothing into God's abundance. The word nothing is used in the King James rendering. But how to turn your nothing? Is there any area in your life that's kind of zero right now? Well, this first few verses into Luke chapter 5 tell us how to turn your nothing into God's abundance. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, that's hard to read past that, Brother Meyer. People pressing in to hear the word of God. It wasn't to see or hear a personality, it was the word of God. Well, all right, let's back up and I'll go right on through. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. It came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him, or asked him, that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship, and when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a big catch of fish. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night. Some of you are here today. And have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke, literally began to break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they didn't sink. They just, it was, they had to get to shore real quick, okay? And when Simon Peter saw it, oh my Lord, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at this great catch of fishes which they had taken. It's important for the next two verses to be read. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. From this moment forth, you're going to catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, please don't read this too quickly. When they had brought their ships to land, it's one thing to promise God something out on the waters. But when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I see meaning in every verse that I have read in your hearing. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And there's a reason that God gives us so many stories and illustrations. I'm so glad that God gave us this insight that we've read for you today on how to turn your nothing into God's abundance. And let me just clarify what I'm saying. Is there an area, some would say, well, it's just my whole life right now, seems like it's nothing. But I mean, is there a certain area? Could it be a business or a marriage or an investment or personal goals or ambitions? Even what you feel like God wants you to do, and it just seems like things are zero right now. There's three things that Jesus does not like. He does not like idle boats. Do something. As Wayne Meyer says, do something unless you do nothing. Jesus does not like idle boats. He does not like empty nets. Nets were made to catch fish. He doesn't like empty nets, and he doesn't like discouraged fishermen. Your discouragement feels good, but it's not of God. And you keep on letting it feel good, you're going to be another basket case. We all get discouraged, but you can't stay there. And that's why you need Isaiah chapter 41. That whole chapter is an anti-discouragement and depression chapter. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee. I'll hold you up with my right hand of righteousness. All right, here's the way I saw it, and here's the way I wrote it out. I just give it to you as I feel God gave these points to me. First of all, how do you turn your nothing, whatever the area may be, how do you turn your nothing into God's abundance? We all want more, right? It would be nice to have more within reason of many things in our life. Well, let's get on to it. First of all, let Jesus use your boat. Be willing to let Jesus use your boat. You say, what's the big deal about that? Well, we like for Jesus to use our boat until it costs us something. In Jesus using their boat, you see, there was taxes. We know they had taxes because Mary and Joseph had to take a burdensome journey when she was 9 months expecting to go register to pay more taxes. And we're in the midst of seeing a lot of that right now. So in letting Jesus use your boat, taxes were involved. Insurance was involved. Insurance is costing more because of so many disasters. There was payroll. It takes people to run a fishing boat. There was depreciation. There is your money, because time equals money. And then there's your all, which more than what you do or what you have, God wants you. God wants you. You know, as Americans, we want to, well, here, let me give you a check for it. I don't want to be burdened with that. But you know, your time is worth something. I tell you, when I fell in love with Joy, time meant virtually nothing. I was in Bible college in Waxahachie. I had to be there almost a year before I could spell it. And I was working a night job at Gladiola Biscuit Company in Dallas. And I don't know what would make that Ford head for Fort Worth when I got off of. But then I would drive to 1 mile from this location to talk to that sweet thing through a screen window. And she'd say, now, Bob, you need to, don't do this all the time. And I'd promise myself I'm going to behave tomorrow night. And I'm just going to Bible college and I'm going to work that 8 hours. And something about that car, you talk about an automatic guidance system. It had a J-O-Y system in it. My brother-in-law gave me a hard time about that. Had to bribe them to keep their mouth shut that this guy was coming by and talking through the window. You know, when you fall in love, you'll do some strange things. You're in love. Amen. But you know, you think of sports people, you think of Olympic people, the space program, or young doctors, those that are training to be young physicians. You know, their life really is not their own. They practice, they work, they sleep, everything's in rote. They don't have time for extras, because what you're into is what calls for your time. And you know, thank God we have a church that if you want to be into end time harvest and soul winning, you know, people have to put up or shut up around here pretty quick, because we got some ways to put you to work. No, really, I'm telling you. And you know what? It all equals souls. You can pray for Jesus. You can outreach for Jesus, sing for Jesus, go to Bible school to learn about Jesus. You can get involved in missions. There's all kinds of things. You can get involved in Christian education. We're not a dead sea. We're a church that's endeavoring to be part of the end time harvest. But you've got to be willing to let Jesus use your boat. You know, it's no virtue on my part, because that's the way I've done everything all my life. Anything Bob Nichols has been into, he gave it everything he had. When I wasn't living for God for a couple of years, oh Lord, I look back and I just say, thank God for the grace of God. I've always loved speed, and I put some angels to the test during those days. And there's a few other things that I don't care to go to. Satan made a bid for my life. He told me I was missing out on life. Told me I'd been raised too straight. He pointed out to my terrible abuse that my parents had toward me, in that they made me go to church. I just don't have much patience with parents. They say, you can't make them go to church, honey. Jewel Nichols, would you please rise from the dead and come teach a session here? She, whoa, I tell you what you should do. And she'll tell you what you should do. She'd have that little Holy Ghost quiver about her, and she was a powerful teacher and speaker. But around our church, that old thing, I don't feel like going to church, she'd go get that big old olive bottle of olive oil, and it just wasn't worth it. She'd anoint you from head to foot with olive oil and pray for you until you felt better. So you might as well get on with the process. You really had to have chicken pox spots to have excuses not to go. And there were people that criticized my mother, and people that I've heard people say, but you know what? I'm serving God. And I got to hear some outstanding evangelists and missionaries and preachers while other kids were home sleeping. I was abused. Sometimes I'd have to sit on the front row. Oh, Jesus. When I was younger, sometimes I just pray that mother would praise and worship God, because I'd go under the pews to the back of the auditorium. That's when I was smaller and younger. But the price for that became more and more with as the days went by. Mama took the fun out of sin. Every time I'd go to the White Theater, she'd find the stub in my pocket. Oh, Jesus. Amen. But I want to come back to the subject. Can Jesus use your boat? Well, he can use my boat maybe one day a month. You know, when I started into the ministry, I'd go anywhere to testify. I'd travel. I'd do anything, go anywhere. Go anywhere. Praise God to have the privilege. First time I got a little offering, I thought, you get paid for this? Amen. As associate minister 1 mile from this location right here, I methodically clean 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th John every week, more than once. I helped janitor the church. I was the associate minister. The associate, there was the associate and the secretary in a prosperous church back then. And I'd do it all. I'd be on the roof in my dark suit, casting devils out of those evaporative coolers on the roof. And just thank God for the privilege. I'll tell you, it's a privilege to do anything for God. I said it's a privilege to drive a bus for Jesus. It's a privilege to knock a door. It's a privilege to pick up the garbage. It's a privilege to help maintain something around the house of God. It's a privilege. And when you lose that spirit of privilege, then it becomes entitlement. Then you want to be paid for everything and anything. And once that game starts, why, it's not long until they're out the door. I've observed that over a period of time. When I started, man, I probably worked too many hours, and I probably wasn't the best husband in the world those early days of remodeling that post office, but we had a job to do and not enough men to do it, and we had to get a building ready because harvest was coming. God saw that hippie Jesus revival was coming. God saw that bus ministry was coming to a little 250-seat chapel. We were running up to 13 buses on Sunday. Quickest way to get killed is go around the corner of Willing and Berry Street, because those brakes weren't always the best on those old buses. and thank God for the privilege. That's not in the notes, but I just feel the tug. Folks, we need to get back to thanking God. You've got the privilege of ushering or standing up or handing out papers or singing a song or the privilege of just sitting in an air conditioned or a heated church. They didn't have that back in the New Testament. Amen. God, we thank you for the privilege of doing it. Never dreamed I'd be preaching in a building like this. Or that we'd be in downtown First Baptist Church. That we bought for $1.5 million. And before that storm was over, it was worth millions of dollars. Little Robert Nichols used to spend more time in the principal's office than I should. Bend over, son. They didn't know it was against the law. Whack, whack, whack. I'm sorry. And then my Methodist principals would pray over me with tears in their eyes. God help little Robert to do the right thing. Obey his teachers. Not have to come in here. We don't like to do this. Ah. Folks, it's a privilege to do anything for God. I just can't get off. I'll get off of it in a minute. It's a privilege to do anything for God. Especially if you get paid for it. You ought to thank God, thank God, thank God. Okay, let Jesus use your boat. Is Jesus welcome to your car? Is he welcome to your truck? Is he welcome to anything you have? When they let Jesus use their boat, it was taxes, insurance, payroll, depreciation, time, money. It was them. Peter had to make the final decision. I must move on. That was only point number one. Point number two is obey his leading. He no sooner got in the boat than he called for change. We awake? He no sooner gets in your boat, he says, time to change. Management has changed. It's time to change. Time to change your thinking. It's time to change your attitude. Buddy Harrison, you say your attitude determines the altitude to which you will fly. President of Harrison House until he went on to be with the Lord. Obey his leading. You find it in the third verse. He enters Peter's boat and immediately calls for change. Thrust out a little. He didn't say a lot. He said thrust out a little. Are you willing to do a little on the way to a lot? Simple questions, but very profound, really. Thrust out a little. Just change the location of this boat. Obey his leading. Thirdly, listen to his word. This is how to turn your nothing into God's abundance. You let Jesus use your boat. You obey his leading. And you listen to his word. Jesus taught the people out of the ship in verse 3. Lester Summerall said the nicest thing they've ever said about charismatic believers is to call us word people. They used to call us holy rollers. They used to call us extremists. They used to call us snake handlers. I hate snakes. I hate snakes. I don't like a grass snake. It reminds me of his big brothers. I was in San Antonio when my brother-in-law James was in the Army. We went to some kind of a museum or zoo or something, and they had these poisonous snakes in this glass enclosure. And I was having a moment. I said, you sorry, good-for-nothing snakes. Look what you got all of us into. I mean, I was shibaraku. I was. I just looked at them. I said, there's nothing beautiful about you. Only thing good for you would be to wear some boots of your hide, you know. And my brother-in-law, James, was so mischievous. He slipped up behind me and said, pfft. Dear Lord, I haven't thought of that in a long time. I'm going to talk to him about that when I get to heaven too. Listen to his word. Jesus taught the people out of the ship. You can come to church and say, well, he was fast, he was slow, he was funny, he was sober. The whole thing is get the word of God into your heart. Read it for yourself. Hear it preached. Hear it taught. Be around a church that believes that God said what he meant and meant what he said. Everything Wayne and Martha Myers do is based on the Word of God. Everything Rebecca does is based on the Word of God. Everything that the Everetts are doing is based on the Word of God. Talk the people out of the ship. And you know what we're doing right now? We're just bearing down on Luke chapter 14. We're bearing down on Luke chapter 14. Go out into the highways, the hedges, the streets, the lanes, and compel them to come in. Heard a Baptist bus pastor when we were starting into outreach years ago said that word compel means go after them and don't come back without them. I like that translation. Go after them, witness, win, and bring them in. Listen to God's word. God's word is not a... You know, I used to have a man downtown. He would come in and bring four. He brought Hebrew, Greek, commentaries. I mean... He really would have a satchel most of the time. And whatever I would preach, I'm seeing out there turning pages. And I finally just said, man, bug off. Let me preach. Amen. He wanted to come up and correct me after every message. Well, now you said this, but. I wanted to tell him to get his, I wanted to tell him move on. I mean, you could just see that look on his face. I'd say a word. I knew he didn't agree with that. Just a pain in the bippo, you know. But I mean, honestly, he'd come in with books and he was going through his... Now, it's okay. And if you preach long enough, you're going to say something that's not probably some little word or some emphasis or something. You know, don't expect perfection because you can't find it in yourself. You give me a break and I give you a break. But let's preach the word. Let's read the word. Let's believe the word. Amen. Listen to the word. I believe this would be number four. Be willing to go all out for God. You know, most of you remember some of you remember evangelist D.H. Phillips. Such a blessing to this church. He said, Brother Nichols, God called me to lift up pastor's hands. He was in the Navy, and you guys were in the same church out in California. Brother Myers is a Navy man. But you know, when D.H. Phillips found Jesus, he became a fanatic. And in that boiler room on that ship, the people that made fun of him when they got under fire, they'd come to the boiler room asking D.H. Phillips to pray for them. And the same thing with Wayne Myers. When Wayne Myers got saved, you remember the minister's wife said, he's not worthy of helping or investing in. I don't remember what it was. Well, you know, for 90 years old, and you're still going, and he's gone. You were worthy of the thousands and thousands of churches that you've blessed and built and put roofs on. You know, you don't have to be real smart. You don't have to be an orator. You don't have to be, you know, boy, that guy's a flawless word machine. Just hang on and let's go together. Let's build. Let's win. Let's cast out devils. Let's live for God. Let's leave some kind of a legacy that Satan's a liar and that Jesus is true. Let's go to a Uganda where God said, I'll give you nations. God said, I'll give you nations. Sounded like science fiction when God gave it to me. But literally on the island of Grenada, you could not live anywhere on that island except you were under our television station signal, Lighthouse Television on Uganda. I mean on Grenada. God literally exposed us to a nation. And out of the little came the big when the Ugandan engineer came and was born again and said, you must bring this television to Uganda. Totally impossible. I'm not Paul Crouch. We don't have the resources that some of these big ministries have. But God Almighty put a baby on our doorstep. I didn't ask for this. Really, my vision's big, but I didn't know that this was in the future. It seemed like crazy. But oh, thank God now. How many years have we been on the air, brother? 15 years we've been on the air. Went on the air in 1997, July. And a church in Fort Worth, Texas. Paul Crouch said, I've never seen a church step up to the plate like Calvary Cathedral stepped up to the plate. We're not the only ones, but thank God we're major players there. Hallelujah. You can't go into the airport Brother Gary, they think you're a celebrity there. You are. I mean, you know, everybody knows what's anybody that's anybody. But here it is. Launch out. Be willing to go all out. You say, but I tried and failed. Go again. Try again. Believe again. Well, I gave and the project didn't work out. I started on that roof in the church. Yeah, I did too. And we haven't forgotten about it. But it costs money to put a new roof on the church. We're halfway there. And the other half is coming. But we're not going to quit. We're not going to quit. You say, well, I failed or I'm burned out. Go deeper. Go further. Give again. Believe again. Pray again. Let me tell you something. The moment you lose that willingness to go again, believe again, and try again, you're out of the ministry whether you know it or not. You've got to be willing to, love is being willing to give your best, asking nothing in return except faith in the seed that you plant. I used to teach that in Bible school. It's still on videotape too. Be willing to go all out. He said, good night, you've been doing this for 48 and a half years. Yeah, but we're not going to quit. I'm talking about our soul winning, our outreach, our soul, our reaching out. We're not going to quit. There's times I get tired. I get weary and well-doing temporarily, but I think of a Wayne Myers, 90 years of age, and I said, man, there's no way I can quit. That man's 90 and still going. I think of the efforts over in Uganda, and I think of others that are, I think of the outreach. I think of what God's doing. I think of a prayer ministry that just keeps on praying. I think of a Christian school next door when 6 major Christian schools have closed in this area and we're still open for business. Folks, don't you see some kind of a smile of God on this house? Man, if you don't, you're blind. It's not bring glory to me. I'm just hanging on for the ride. Praise God. Launch out. Be willing to go all out. Here's another very important point. I'll tell you what, if you'll respond, I'll get through quicker. Act on his word. Now, Jesus, I gave and I gave big time in that offering. I borrowed money to give to the, yeah, I have too, and I'll do it again this year. I not only give what I've got, I go to the bank and borrow money every once in a while just to put it in the church. Joe and I do, we pay it out just like you'd pay a car payment out. He said, that's not good business. Well, I don't know. When you're a leader, you do what you have to do what you have to do. When you remember those 2 women that Solomon talked to, and one woman said, just cut the baby in two? The real mother didn't feel that way. The real mother didn't have cut. She had save. Okay. Act on his word, at thy word. Lord, we've fished all night and caught nothing. And you want us to launch out and get our nets out and go through this whole laborsome process again. But nevertheless, at thy word, we're going back to Mexico. We're going back to Spain. We're going back to Uganda. Why are we there? The word. Go into all the world and preach the gospel of Christ. Not just Fort Worth or Dallas. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, this gospel shall be preached in all the world. Oh, I felt a flash of God's lightning down my spine. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. One of these days, this thing's going to be over. And only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. All of our yeah and our selfishness and our crazy ways and whatever be as nothing. Only what you've done for God's going to stand the fire. Act on his word. Every year I pastor, I go through seasons when I just cling to this word like I'd cling to a life jacket in the midst of the ocean if my ship had gone under. I cling to Isaiah. Oh, I find so much comfort in my pastor Isaiah. Oh, I cling to his verses. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. Oh, God, I don't know. I don't understand. I don't feel. God, there's no way to get there from here. God, this one's really the big one. This one's really impossible, God. But he just won't respond. He said, you hold to my word, and I'll see you through. Boy, you haven't lived until everything you've got comes right back into this word right here. I'm saying more than you're saying amen here today. This book is your life book. This book is your health book. This book is your finance book. This book is your future book. This book is your now book. This book is your sanity book in a world that is insane. Is the world insane when a young teenager can kill his mother and his sister? Is the world insane when one gunman can gun down 26 men? It wasn't the guns that killed those people. Steak knives would have done it if you had just had time. That's all our movies are about. That's all our video. The bloodier, the better. And Hollywood pumps it out. It's not guns that kill people. They're not going to get my BB gun, I'm telling you. They're not going to get it. And do you suspect I'm a member of NRA? I've got the card in my pocket. They're not going to get my BB gun. You understand? I've got two that are better than BB guns. All right. But you know, that's not my faith. That's not my hope. Act on his word. Folks, this will bring this checklist right. Did you ever fly with a pilot that didn't go by the checklist? When we were seeking our financing, there was a big old guy. He's a backslidden Baptist financier. He's going to fly me down to East Texas to somebody, and he's looking for a water tower. But we went out to Arlington Airport, and it had a propeller on the front, propeller on the back. I don't know what it was, but we got in there. I didn't know you're supposed to check out a flight list. He just got in there with his suit on, got the seat belt on, turned the switch and fired the engines and headed for the end of the runway. When I found out all the things he didn't do, I said, oh, the grace of God. He said, you watch the road now. This is highway so-and-so. Look for the water tower. And the runway is not far from the water tower. He didn't fly by the book. He didn't fly by. Fly like some of those missionaries fly down to Mexico, flew into those box canyons down there. At thy word. Everything in Calvary Cathedral, as far as I know, is based on the word. Act on his word. When you have a day when there's no way to get there from here, just pull your car over, put it in park, turn everything off, and just grab your... I'm getting where I take my Bible with me everywhere, all the time, everywhere. And get your hand on your word and just say, in the name of Jesus, I'm coming through. I'm coming through. I'm coming through. Move over, Lucy. No way. No way. Some way, somehow. God's never failed, Joyce says so sweetly. Bob, God has never failed us. Thank you, darling, for standing with me. She's never said, what's in it for us, Bob? What's in it for us? I've signed banknotes and paper that I was crazy to do it, but if you believe it, you'll do it. What can I say? All right, act on his word. Act on his word. All right, I've got three more. If you step the amens up, I'll get through here.
Amen.
Say, what are you doing just then? I'm avoiding disaster. All right. You sharp folks caught that. All right. All right, I've got three more. You need this to get the whole picture. Get ready for abundance that helps you and others. Heaps for harvest. There's only one reason for us to ask God to bless us with more, and that's that we give more. Get ready for abundance that helps you and others. You think I'm joking when I say I wished I was very, very wealthy and could find a guy like me and just help support that church? Man, what a blessing to write a $1 million check or $500,000. I mean, because I know the guts of this ministry. I know our outreach. I know we could do more so much more quickly. We could take those signals down country and to the border. There's all kind of things we could do. We could increase everything in Mexico. We could just reach out in a greater way. Get ready for abundance. Be ready to think, believe bigger and in a different way. Get ready for abundance, because when you do things God's way, hallelujah. You know, Joe and I started out giving a dollar. And then we started giving $1.50. And then we started giving $2.50. Then we got up to $5. Well, that was a big offer. And then there were a few times we give $10. Lo and behold, all of a sudden we could write a check for $20. And then $50. And then where $100 just became the low watermark. I couldn't do that years ago. But, oh, the more God blesses me, the more we give. We live to give. Get ready for abundance that helps you and others. All right, there's two more. Value the power of partnership. See, together we can do what we could not do separately. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. That word wait there shows us a ship's rope. And all the twine, you see, one twine would snap. But did you ever see a ship rope? Man, I mean, it's a big thing. It'll hold a cruise ship or a freighter or whatever. I've seen. But you see, all that is a series of little twines. And that's what a church is all about. What Bob Nichols can't do by myself and what you cannot do by yourself, all together we can do it. All together we can get the job done. And we can be a rope that Satan can't break. He can't get through to it. Pocket knife won't cut that one, honey. Praise God. Value the power of partnership. I have more people. Every once in a while someone gripes about it, but I have more people say, thank God I'm in a church where I know I can give, and I'm doing my giving because I know where it's going. I can see it. Praise God. Value the power of partnership. Partners catch more fish. And then finally, final point, never stop following Jesus. 11th verse, Luke chapter 5, verse 11. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What hypocrite knocked you out? What gossiper got you a victory? Who knocked your family out of attending a red hot Holy Ghost New Testament? Who is the outlaw that pulled that off? That you heard. God. Excuse me. I'm going to make a wild statement. Alcohol doesn't hurt me. Doesn't hurt the church. Drugs doesn't hurt me and doesn't hurt the church. I mean, it hurts the people. But gossip and strife mongering hurts any New Testament church. Alcohol doesn't affect me. I don't drink it and it doesn't affect the church, really. Drugs don't affect me. I hate them. They're the end time scourge of the evil one. But I'm telling you, I have more respect for a drug dealer than I do for a gossiper. I've never said that before. I have more respect for a drug dealer, for an alcoholic, than I have for someone that would tear a church in ribbons and couldn't give a rip on what happens. I'll tell you, we have an investment here that we must protect. We have an investment that we must be willing. I'm willing to give my life by the grace of God for this thing. Not to be a hero. Not to be a hero. But because when I think of, you know, I've asked God for an extended life because there's just so many opportunities. So many opportunities. We're winning more souls. We've got more opportunity. Oh, So here we go. Let's go through the checklist, and I think we're doing quite well. How to turn your nothing into God's abundance. You let Jesus have your boat. No excuses. Just say you can, and your boat is you. Number two, you obey his leading. You listen to his word. Seriously, you listen to his word. And you be willing to go all out for God. Launch out into the deep. The other point, act on his word. Act on it at thy word. It doesn't make sense. I don't feel like it. I'm tired. Doesn't make any sense. But if your word, I'll do it. And get ready for abundance that helps you and others. Heaps for harvest is what I'm talking about. Value the power of partnership. I thank God for you. Thank you for believing in the dream. Thank you for believing. Brother Wayne Cooper, I thank you. One of the first two men in our church on the first Sunday morning. Thank you for believing in the dream. We've come through some storms. We've seen a lot of things come and go. But you bless my heart every time I see you, brother. And never mistake it, we appreciate our long-timers. Hallelujah. Katie, I look at you guys and Martha and some of you hiding from me. You don't want me to call your name. See, Jesus was really just beginning his ministry, and the disciples were really just beginning their walk with him to see what he could do. I mean, this is a venture of faith for the disciples, and this is a venture in reality for Jesus. See what people will do with what you ask them to do. Amen. But the end result of it is they come back to shore with two boatloads of fish, not one, but two. Because partners catch more fish. And so when they got their limit, they said, hey, come over, help us. Hey, we got the fish biting over here. How in the world can you go a few feet and it makes a difference? I don't know. But it pays to be where God wants you to be. So they come over to the boat that's catching fish. Not the most popular boat. Not the most popular religious thing in town. They come over to the boat that's catching fish and say, we want to be a part of you. And the fish begin to jump into their nets. And can you see those boats coming back to land? Are you happy about a good paycheck? Are you happy when you get some extra? Are you happy when you get a check in the mail? Can you imagine the joy of they not only obeyed God, they not only helped get the word out, but they got back to shore and had an abundance of what they needed most. Here I come, Mr. Banker. Got the payment right here. Oh, hallelujah. You're a wonderful group of people to preach to this. I believe you're like that little lady in Perth, Australia. Yeah, a little Scottish lady came to see her granddaughter. Never had flown, never had been out of Scotland. But as I preached that night, she'd say, I've caught it. And I thought, you know, that's pretty cool, you know. I've caught it. Because that means I got it. I hear you. I know what you said. I'm going to do what you said to do. Brother Wayne, I am going to come down to Mexico. I've got to preach this down there. Thank you for having patience. I just couldn't when you wanted me to come. I'll be there. I want our musicians to come back, and I want us to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. Folks, nothing else matters. When I have the time and the phone's not ringing and everything's okay, I like a good football game. I mean, there's nothing wrong with sports if you don't, you know, it's okay. But you know what turns me on? I just like to see a ball of fire come out of heaven and we hit a Holy Ghost revival here. I'm a strange creature. 1 mile from here, in Joy's daddy's church, a revival started that went through Christmas. and people had Christmas in church. And their relatives got mad, but they said, sorry about that. We've been filled with the Holy Ghost and set free. We're in revival. Oh, I knew you were a fanatic. Oh, yeah, I'm a fanatic. We had revival during Christmas. So you can never tell me that a church can't have revival. I'm not, don't get nervous. But you can't tell me it can't happen. I've been there. You can't tell me you can't have a summer of revival. We've been there. You can't tell me that young people on drugs and sex and porn and alcohol and all that with their VWs and their dogs not going to come to church. Boy, we saw it. That a church where nobody was getting saved, all of a sudden we had to have people direct the traffic. Where one old bus sat out in front and mocked us for the longest time. But we started filling up that bus, and before it was over, we filled up 12, 13 buses. Stand to your feet, if you will. Excuse me, I'm just out there this morning. I'm out there and I can't find the runway to get back. I'm on final approach. I'm just trying to find the runway. Would you, maybe you'd sing it, help me to find the runway. You think you could? Could you just? I have decided to follow Jesus. In Mexico, in Spain, in Uganda, in Central and South America, in China, in Asia, all over the world,
to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Hallelujah.
I have decided.